You don't have to take. You don't have to fill in a lot of blanks this morning. Everything's written out for you. You may need to copy down some lists on the back as we go through this. If you have your Bibles, I hope you do. Please bring your Bible to church. Psalm 92. Want to read verses 12 through 15? This is an amazing psalm. I love camping out here. There's just so much here, particularly when you get verse 12 through 15. Psalm 92, verse 12. This is glorious. The psalmist David records for us, speaking of those in Christ, by position and by practice, the righteous flourish. You'll notice that several times. Flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. Here it is again. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green. And here's the message, to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock. There is no unrighteousness in him. Father, just help us to concentrate in your word this morning and your truth. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege, the opportunity. Use Mike and Christina in a wonderful way as they deal with the little ones. Thank you for that opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's where I'm planning to go. Lord may change this during the next three Lord's Day mornings. This week, I want to dip into Psalm 92, 12 through 15 a little bit. I'll end up there at the end of your outline and talk about fruitfulness. Then next week, I'm planning to do a dive into Dr. Ryrie's study on fruit-bearing for the glory of God. Dr. Ryrie taught systematic theology for years at Dallas. That's one of the reasons I wanted to go down there. He was wonderful. He's with the Lord now. And he had a way of explaining things. And then on July 6th, I want to come back and do a deeper look at John 15, the first eight verses. John 15 is a weighty passage. In fact, when I was contacted, I think sometime in January or whenever it was, to do a series of messages at Keswick last week or 2 weeks ago, the theme was growing in Christ and being fruitful based on John 15, and they gave me two verses. And so I started working on that, and I found out that their theme and the verses had nothing to do with each other. And I didn't have the heart to tell them that because they already printed up everything in glossy colors. So it piqued my interest. So I went back and looked at the Upper Room Discourse and some other things. And if you want to look at those messages, they're on YouTube. I'm not going to talk about those here. But I'm going to attempt this morning to give you the backstory, a little bit of the backstory to John 15. All right? Very potent section. There's more written on John 15. There's more disagreement when it comes to John 15. There's a lot of talk out there in devotional writings about abiding in Christ, but I'm not sure if anybody really understands what's going on here. It's an intimate time with Jesus and his disciples before he goes to the cross. He's speaking to believers, and anyhow, we'll look at this a little bit this morning. I want to look at the outline, follow that this morning. First thing I want to mention is that the goal of this whole section that we'll be talking about is fruitfulness that glorifies God. Spiritual fruitfulness is spiritual productivity. John 15, verse 8, Jesus says this, black and white, or red letter Bible if you have that. Jesus said, "This is my Father, by this my Father is glorified, that you, my disciples, bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." He's speaking to the 11. And I believe he's speaking to every believer in Christ. The goal, fruitfulness that glorifies Christ, or being spiritually productive on this side of eternity. Now, the venues in God's word intended to be fruitful for his glory, and there's at least three, maybe more, but at least three I want to mention. Israel was first and foremost the venue that God chose to be fruitful, to be spiritual productive. What happened to Israel, by the way? We'll look at that, Lord willing, in a couple weeks from now. In Isaiah chapter 5, God says, "I planted a vineyard. I looked for grapes. What did I find?" He didn't find anything. And by the way, I don't want to get off on this morning because I'm not prepared to do so, but what's going on in Israel may or may not be the end time biblical Israel, okay? So we need to be careful in Bible prophecy there, right? I believe there's a future for Old Testament Israel for sure, and all the promises that God gave to Israel will be fulfilled. But originally, Israel failed. Israel did not produce fruit. Second venue would be the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus came along as the perfect God-man, the perfect Israel, and fulfilled where Israel failed, was totally fruitful. And the third venue is you and I, the church. God's will for us during this inner Advent age, waiting for the return of the Lord, is to be fruitful, spiritually productive. And that's why we invest in missions. That's why we get excited about what's going on here and across the globe. The key is going to be abiding in Christ. The key to spiritual fruitfulness is abiding in Christ. John 15, verse 4 and 5, Jesus said this, "Abide in me, remain in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in me, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit." And he says, apart from me, you can do what?
Nothing.
Nothing. If there's no abiding, and by the way, that's the key here, there'll be plastic fruit. You know what plastic fruit is? I told you about plastic fruit before. My Aunt Helen used to have it in her kitchen and in her dining room. When I grew up, we didn't call anybody by the first name, okay? If you were not a relative and we were close, we always called you aunt or uncle. Did you do that? We're just a Jersey thing, okay? So Aunt Helen wasn't my aunt, but she had, I used to stare at this. I was a little guy. And she used to have these, no blemishes, no bug holes. She used to have perfect bananas, shiny grapes, apples and oranges. And we weren't supposed to touch them, but I touched them, and they were plastic. Apart from remaining in Christ, you'll just come up with plastic fruit. And every Saturday, I don't know why I do this. I go up to Morningstar. I used to go up there to hand out tracts, and then the owner chased me down and told me to stop it. She said, "You're not allowed to do that here." So, okay. And I just look at, everybody's taking this plastic fruit and all the other junk they have, and they're selling it. You ever go up there? I've never seen, let's keep on the outline. Okay? My wife's not here to give me the signal, though. Keep going. All right, on your outline, the potential and possibility, okay? In John 15, verse 8, I just read that to you. Jesus said, it's possible for those who remain in him to bear much fruit, much spiritual productivity. And we'll define that a little more, Lord willing, next week. For our time this morning, and I want to ask you a question, and this is largely applicational, all right? The question I want to ask is this. Why should you care about being fruitful or spiritually productive in older age? Why should you care about being spiritually fruitful, productive in older age? Should it even be an issue on my radar? Let others do it. Well, Roman number one, let me give you, and this list keeps growing, let me give you 8 reasons not to be concerned about spiritually being fruitful, okay? 8 reasons not to be concerned about bearing fruit. You could add to this, okay? Here we go. Here's my list. I didn't write these on your outline. You could write these down if you want. I think, are you projecting all this? All right. Okay. This is all that. All right. Number one, some people, maybe this is you, I don't know. Some people are not concerned about being productive anymore spiritually because you're saying, I've done my part. And many of you have done your part, okay? I've taught kids, I worked in the nursery, I changed diapers, I gave, I did outreach, I cleaned. Now it's time for younger people to do the work. You may be thinking, I put in my time. All right, that's the reason. There's a second reason. You may think, I'm not concerned because I'm just tired. I'm burned out. I've had it. Let someone else do that. Maybe. Maybe you're thinking, or maybe somebody's thinking, there's too many changes. There's too many changes. I just can't keep up what's going on in church and ministry. Hey, are there a lot of changes today? There's a lot of changes. There's a lot of changes. And some of them are good. And some of them we don't know yet, okay? Number four, maybe I don't want to be spiritually productive or care about it because there's a real feeling that I'm not wanted anymore. There's a real feeling that I'm not wanted anymore before. And I remember I was at the Church of the Open Door one Sunday, and several people came to me at the end of the service and said, "Can we come to this church? Because the church we are attending doesn't want us anymore." In fact, they said, one lady said, "They call us Q-tips." That's what I said. What? Q-tips. White on top, you know? I went and talked to Peter Tagg about this, the great Dr. Peter Tagg, and I said, bring him in. We love you, okay? Because you are the people who are going to pray, you're going to give, you're going to be productive. You're always wanted, you're always productive. I remember Pastor Don Hurlburt came to me one day, and you remember Pastor Don Hurlburt, remember him? I only heard about him in New Jersey. He was the president of the Independent Fundamental Churches of America. That's where Barbieri's going to right now, the national conference. And I met him coming out to York. I didn't know he was that short when I first met him. I said, he's kind of short. I met Steve Green once. He's kind of short too, you know. And so I met Pastor Hurlburt. I got on my knees and I said, he was coming out of the Christian School of York. It was over there. And I said, "Man, it's just a joy to meet you. You're one of my heroes." In fact, when I joined the IFCA, he wrote the letter. I think it was a form letter, but he signed the letter, okay. He came to me one day and he said, "Is it okay if I attend Church of the Open Door? They don't want me anymore." I said, "They don't want you anymore? Come on, man, you're a great man of God." And he came and served until the Lord took him home. So anyhow, I'll move there. Number five, and this may be redundant. You may think that you can't be fruitful anymore. You may think you're like an old peach tree or an old apple tree that one day was, in the past, was very, very productive, but now is just there for looks. Maybe you're feeling that way. I don't know. Could be number six, you're not really a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be careful, and I have a note here for myself. Be careful about decisional regeneration. This is an American thing. This is an American thing. Happened decades, well, centuries ago, where the idea that all you have to do is make some decision and you're okay. Just because someone told you you're going to heaven may not mean you're going to heaven, okay? Make sure you know for certain that your faith is in Christ. In Christ alone. Or number seven, maybe you are a believer and you're just so worldly minded that you're not concerned with those around you. And we hope by the Spirit of God that will change. Or maybe number eight, there's spiritual ignorance about fruitfulness and we want to change that a little bit. So Roman numeral two, and you can add to those eight. Eight's not a good number. Let me give you at least five reasons to be concerned about bearing fruit. Five reasons about bearing fruit, fruit bearing, okay? Why all of us should be concerned about bearing fruit. Number one, for the believer in Jesus Christ, that's all of you here, I hope, bearing fruit is expected. Bearing fruit is expected. That's on your notes. It is not optional. That's the reason you are left on planet Earth in 2025. That's why you're here. You expect to get grapes if you plant grapes. God expects to get fruit from you. That's why you are here. And we'll define fruit more next week. God expects productivity from your life. And don't measure it by large quantities or small quantities. I'm working on 2 Corinthians. We'll start that one of these days. But God's impressed with little things, not the big things. We're impressed by big things. We're impressed by crowds and numbers. God is not. He works through weakness. He delights in weakness. So fruit bearing is expected. We see that in John 15. Second thing, and this is a little more serious. There is a coming evaluation and time for rewards. There is a coming evaluation and time for rewards. I want to read to you from 1 Corinthians 4. I have read this often. We'll read this to you again. I mentioned to Dr. Cohen last night, I would remind you to check out, he has how many articles does he have on our website? A lot.
Easily over 100.
Over 100, all kinds of things. I'll call him up and ask him a question. He'll write 5-6 pages of single space. He does that, and they're online somewhere. So he does some wonderful teaching, very biblical, on the judgment seat of Christ. I encourage you during these hot days, get with your computer and look that up. Wonderful things. But Paul says this, the church at Corinth was being overly critical of him. And Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. This is how one should regard us, the apostles, as servants of Christ, stewards of the mysteries of God. And then Paul says it is required of stewards that they be found faithful, trustworthy. Not successful by your standards, trustworthy by God's standards. Big difference. And Paul says, and I don't know his emotions here, but I bet he was very much moved. He said, but with me it's a small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I don't even evaluate myself. And then he says this, for I'm not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby, and I'm thereby not acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. That's what I want you to get. The Lord will judge me. Therefore, verse 5, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes. He will bring to light the things that are now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God. We're not talking about heaven or hell here. We're talking to believers who will be evaluated for their spiritual productivity, their faithfulness while on planet Earth. There's a coming evaluation, and there's a time for awards. And don't take that lightly. Number three, most of you, not all of you here, but most of you here are in a spiritual state of what I want to call advanced spiritual maturity. You have been walking with the Lord for years. You've been teaching, reading, studying His Word. You have developed a walk of wisdom. You know what matters and what doesn't matter. And so that's why you should be concerned about spiritual productivity. I probably don't need to read these verses to you, but I will anyhow. In Hebrews chapter 5, Hebrews is dealing with Christians, from the Jewish background, who were discouraged. They were being persecuted. And often when someone is being persecuted as a Christian, they go back to where they came from. And so these believers want to go back to the Jewish system. And the author of Hebrews says, number one, you can't go back. You can't go back. Christ died once. You can't go back. Second thing, you need to grow up. You need to grow up into maturity. You need to move on. You need to be spiritually productive. And he says this in Hebrews 5, verse 11, about the thing we have much to say about the Melchizedekian doctrine, but it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. Rather than being productive, you've eased off. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. Verse 14, solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. And I won't go into chapter 6. Most of you are in a state of spiritual maturity. It's time to be serious if you're not about spiritual productivity. Number four. I believe you are to be concerned about spiritual productivity, fruit, because of the possibility. Everybody here can be productive. Again, only in this life. But you don't need money. You don't need a degree from some Christian college. You don't need to have a certain background. You can be productive now before your mind and your body begin to fail. You can be productive now. And number five, probably most important, most of you are equipped. Most of you are equipped. You've been trained well. You've been taught well. You're coming from great churches, and you're needed. You are needed. I mentioned that before about a group of people, great people. Great people who thought, they were told, the pastor actually told these people, he called me one day, that pastor called me one day, he said, you can have these people. And I said, man, bring them in, I'll take them. Most of you are equipped, you are needed, you have experience. And the younger generation is struggling with issues that we never dreamed of would happen in the so-called Christian community. Unbelievable. And whenever you think you've heard it all, there's more to hear. I'm reading a book right now. I'm always reading a book. My wife says, read too many books. She does too. One of the professors from the Masters University, that's John MacArthur's college out in California, he wrote a book, hot off the press, The title of the book is called Lies, Lies My Therapist Told Me. Lies My Therapist Told Me. I'm about one-fifth into the book. And this man is chronicling all the lies that so-called Christian counselors are disseminating to Christians. And it's just horrendous. We need you folks, godly people, to deal with young people by your model and your words. You know, last Sunday we asked Vic to come up here and talk about being a patriarch, being a grandfather, being a great-grandfather, and he gave us some principles. We're going to type that up and put that at the table for you, because that's the kind of stuff we need. We need a lot of that. This younger generation needs a lot of models. They need to be taught, and they just need encouragement. They need encouragement, not criticism, but they need encouragement. Now, before I look again at Psalm 92, and this is where we may get in trouble this morning, but that's okay. I feel good this morning. I'm all right. Number three, I want to talk about some practical responsibilities for effective fruit bearing. And if you're mad at me, hopefully it'll dissipate before you leave, all right? These are outside the perimeter of John 15. These are my opinions. Maybe you ought to stand on the floor. But some of these are just practical. Don't get upset with the owner of the place here. This is me, okay? This is me, all right? I want to talk about four areas that we need to be concerned about if we're going to be spiritually productive. These are responsibilities. These are your responsibilities, okay? Some of these things nobody can do except you, all right? And, okay, number one, if I'm going to be spiritually productive, if I'm going to do my best for Jesus with the life I have now, I need to be concerned with physical issues. I need to be physically concerned, all right? If I'm going to be spiritually fruitful, we need to take care of our physical bodies, right? The story is told of a Christian camp. Young people were there all over the place. And Dr. Ryrie was teaching. He's not necessarily a new youth speaker, but they had him up there teaching the youth. And somebody came up to him and asked Dr. Ryrie, the great Dr. Ryrie, said, Dr. Ryrie, what's the number one biblical principle for my life? What's the number one, the most important thing I can be doing? Number one, they're waiting for something to drop from Mount Sinai. I don't know what they're waiting for. But this is after the evening service. And Dr. Ryrie stopped. He paused. He looked at them and he said, one of the most important spiritual priorities is getting a good night's rest. I'll see you tomorrow. Good night. And that was that. What we eat matters. What we eat matters. I got to be careful because my wife's away for a while, and I was eating ice cream. Don't tell her that, you know. You don't want to hear this. We need to watch the sugar intake. Every doctor I listen to, Christian doctors and secular doctors, are saying the same thing. Sugar feeds, it promotes cancer, other problems. I listened to a heart surgeon yesterday. He said, here's the five things you should not be doing. He's not a Bible guy, just he operates on hearts all the time. He said, if you want to maintain a healthy heart, you're going to stay away from sugar. You're not going to touch alcohol. You're not going to touch tobacco. And I think he mentioned the processed food and something else. You got to take care of your bodies. You got to take care of your bodies. And if you're not, don't ask me to pray for your health, okay, because it's just a contradiction. We have, you probably know who he is, we have a very famous theologian, preacher, teacher. Books out there, he's still on the internet, he'll always be on the internet for the rest of life. He died prematurely, way prematurely, due to his chain smoking. He couldn't get rid of the lucky strikes. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. You need to take care of yourselves physically. Physically. I went through, with my broken leg, I went through therapy. And the people in therapy all say the same thing. They say, it ought to be in the Bible. Motion is what? Say it again, Rachel.
Motion
is lotion. You got to keep moving. You got to keep moving. And I look at a lot of people, they're sedentary, they don't do anything, and they get to the point where they can't walk anymore. And I may get there someday, but you know what? I want to keep moving. I want to keep walking. I need to. I went to see the surgeon a while ago because I wasn't feeling good about the leg. I don't know what's going on there. I can't see it. He x-rayed, brought me back, sat him down. I love this guy in a way. I love him. Not a whole lot of love, but I love him. And he said, you're fine. You should listen to your wife. That's what he wrote down in the medical report. He said, you should listen to your wife. My wife said, keep moving. Keep exercising. And so I made an announcement at church. I said, I need an exercise bike. I thought I'd get about 25 exercise bikes because nobody wants them. Mike gave me his exercise bike. It's down in the cellar. And so whether I want to or not, I got to go down. I got to take breaks from studying. I got to get on that bike. I put my headphones on. And I got to go at it and do a lot of other things because I want to be productive. I want to be productive. You want to be productive too. And if you're not doing anything today, maybe not in the worst of the heat, you need to start doing something. You need to start doing something. We may bring in one of these ladies on a Wednesday morning to talk to us about that because very, very important. Number two, we'll leave that for now before I talk about, you know, red dye or something like that in the Fruit Loops. Okay. Mentally, if we're going to be spiritually productive, you need to keep your mind sharp. How do you keep your mind sharp, folks? How do you keep your mind sharp?
Read.
You read. You got to exercise to get the oxygen flowing. You got to read. You got to read. There's good stuff out there. Ask me. I'll give you a list. There's mental exercise. And this gets me going. This gets me going. Too many of my peers, older and younger, have stopped studying. They're teachers and preachers. And when I ask them a question, they'll give me some answer 40, 50 years ago from their notes in seminary. Well, that's nice, but you got to keep going. You got to keep reading. You got to keep growing. You got to keep that mind stimulated. I don't know if I said this last week or not. It's a long time ago, but I was down at Keswick. I met a 92-year-old lady, very elegant, good-looking, sharp, 92. She says she's still the church secretary. She says she comes in 3 days a week to the church office. She does all kind of work, and she listed the pastors she worked for. Most of them are dead, but she's still at it. She's still being productive. Third area, and we'll get to Psalm 92 in a moment. Spiritually, there's a spiritual effort. And if you're going to be spiritually productive and bear fruit, I would strongly suggest that if you're not doing this, you get about memorizing God's word. It is labor intensive. How many would agree that memorization is? I finally memorized my phone number after years, the cell number. I know what it was. I could tell you New Jersey zip code, but I didn't know that. Memorization is hard work. And every time you sit down to do it, there's something else more fun to do, okay? I promise you that. It is hard work. Memorize God's word. Take one verse, write it out on a 3x5 card, or whatever works for you. Just go over it and over it and over it. My wife, she won't watch this as much. She's down Myrtle Beach with Dan's kids. She drives me nuts sometimes because we get in the car and she has this phone app where she talks to the thing of all the Bible verses she's memorized, and unbelievable. Before she goes to bed, she goes pages and pages. She's working. Same verses every day. You got to do that because what happens if you don't? Can't memorize them anymore. Can't remember them, all right? Read your Bible. Let me say this. Not your phone. June said to me last Sunday, she came here all excited. She said she was at a Saturday night service. Leisha had, was it baptism? Something like that, where her great-great-great-grandchildren attend church. And the pastor, young guy, got up and said, ditch the phone when it comes to Bible reading, because the Bible and what you get on your phone are two different things. You can't treat the Bible like all that text or all that other stuff that comes on your phone. Get rid of that phone in church. Get a Bible. And I'll tell you what, Bible publishing right now, in light of all the technology, is going through the roof. They're publishing more Bibles, nice ones, than ever before. You need to have the Word of God. You need to have your Bible. I can't read the Bible on the phone. I'd rather look at Fox webpage or something like that. Okay, I need the Bible. Open your book. And then number four, if you're going to be spiritually productive, and there's more than this, there needs to be the social aspect. Reach out. Get to know new people. Expand your circle. Our circle is growing smaller. I mean, many of my friends are with the Lord now. I mean, I have more friends in the Keswick Cemetery than over at Keswick these days. It is just amazing. That's how life is. Get to know some new people. It takes effort. It takes work. It takes some energy, but get to know some people, okay? A lot of good people. Your neighbors, I'm amazed. I got some neighbors. They never talk to the person on the other side of the fence. They don't need a fence. They don't talk. It's just amazing. Get to know people. Get to know people. Okay, Psalm 92. Open your Bibles to Psalm 92. We're going to look at this. Finally. Let's look at Psalm 92, last paragraph. This is so good. I get excited about this. I want to encourage you to keep reading this one section. It's all the Psalms are good. All the Bible's good. But there's something so encouraging in this particular part of God's Word. It's the only Psalm that says it's written for the Sabbath. They use all the Psalms in the Sabbath. But the Sabbath, what is the Sabbath? The Sabbath is a sign of a completed creation. And who, by the way, is the Lord of the Sabbath? The Lord Jesus Christ. And how are you ultimately going to experience Sabbath rest? By coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, who promised to give all those who come to him Sabbath rest. Psalm 92, latter part, 12 through 15. This is great. It details the characteristics of the righteous. The characteristics of the righteous. And when we talk about righteous, we're talking about two different things here. We're talking about people who are righteous by position. That's those who have a position with God through Christ. They're declared righteous. And that happens the moment you place your faith in Christ. And righteous by practice. So when God looks at you, he sees your position. But also by practice, you're being obedient. You're doing what the Word of God says. So saving faith and life obedience. Declared and being a doer of the word. And I've said this before. I'm going to say this again. I'm going to say this as long as I can. It is possible and it is expected for every believer to be spiritually productive, fruitful into old age. The Great Bible Baptist used to have a class or something. I don't know if they still do. They probably still do. It was called Your Best Years Club. The Best Years Club. And that's so true because your best years are now. Our best years are now. When I pray for Gary and Sandy, I often pray for them that their most fruitful years will be now. Think of some of the folks we have the joy of being part of. They're being more spiritually productive now in older age than they ever been, and they've been good before. Dwayne King blows us away. The way he is, can't do everything he'd like to do physically, but the folks he's encouraging to get involved in Kingdom Air. You know, Vic and Judy always bless my heart. Gary and Sandy, there's more here. Three truths I want you to look at in these verses, and then we'll go drink coffee and look at another great lesson. Number one, verses 12 and 13 give us an amazing description of the righteous. Let me read this to you again. It's just a wonderful description of righteous people. It says this. And I pointed this out before and I read this to you. You look at the word flourish in here. I'm using the ESV. It may be a little different in another translation, and they're all good. It says the righteous flourish. Doesn't tell them to flourish. It says they're doing it. Right? They're doing it. The righteous flourish like the palm tree. They grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. That's a work of grace without limit. That's a work of grace without limit. They flourish. They flourish. Back up, if you have your Bible open, to verse 7, where it says, the latter part of verse 7, it says, well, I'll read the whole verse here, that though the wicked sprout like grass, and all the evildoers, there's the word, flourish, they are doomed to destruction forever. They flourish just for a little while. They flourish just for a little while. The righteous flourish without end. David here, the psalmist, he mentioned they flourish like the palm tree. The palm tree is famous for surviving, growing in desert places. We were just down quite a while ago now, I guess, at my son's church in West Palm Beach, Florida. And it's hot down there, but guess what? It's hot up here. probably about the same temperature today. And I was at Sam's campus there, great church, Boynton Beach area. And it's a, there's a out, you get outside, there's a roof and everything where they drink coffee outside. It's wonderful. And they just have this long walk with palm trees all over the place. It is like, not like Gilligan's Island, but it's just beautiful. It is just beautiful. And I said, how do those trees survive all the hurricanes and winds down here? They just do. They just do. The righteous are called palm trees, flourishing like a palm tree. It says they are like a cedar tree. The cedar tree in Lebanon was one of the most majestic trees in the ancient world. Lasting beauty stands for godliness and virtue, contrasted to the wicked, the unrighteous, that are here today and gone tomorrow. Two very famous people passed last week or so. I think it was more than a week ago now. Two very, 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 very famous people, and recorded tons of recordings, tons of concerts, wrote tons of things, but nothing spiritually productive. Sly Stone, gone. Brian Wilson, gone. I asked one of my friends, I said, Brian Wilson, Beach Boys. Guy never heard of the Beach Boys. Okay. Talented, wonderful, gifted, spiritually non-productive. It says of the righteous, it says of you, spiritually productive. And by the way, this will happen, we'll look at this later. This only happens by abiding in Christ. Okay, Jesus said, apart from me, you can do what? Yeah, we don't believe that sometimes. Second description, verse 14. Psalm 92, verse 14, talks about the endurance of the righteous. Verse 14. And this ought to have you, this ought to get you excited, if anything. This ought to get you excited. They still bear fruit in old age. How many know someone older than you? I've asked this before. How many know someone older than you? Anyone? Some of you do. Yeah, that's good. Anyone know someone younger than you? Why is it when I was little, the old people that I knew back then, they're still alive, they're still old? How does that work? I look at pictures and they look old. Anyhow, that's another story. All right, but look at this. He said, I love this. They still bear fruit in old age. They are still full of sap and green. They're ready to go. They're ready to go. I was visiting with Sue's mom yesterday over in Providence Place, and she's dealing with some memory, some mental issues. And I got out my phone. I show her pictures, and I have this picture on my phone of the great, late, but always ever flourishing, you know who started snowboarding, skiing at age 65. Who's that? Mr. Bird, you. Okay. Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a man who modeled what the Psalms taught. And a lot of you are modeling this, but that man, if anybody, modeled this kind of thing. When the 40-year-olds were talking about retiring, he was on to the new project. I remember the last time, it was a while ago now, he's with the Lord. I remember the last time a tree in my yard fell over, one of those big weeping willows. And he came over, you know, Mr. Bird, there was not a fallen tree in York County safe, but he was always getting it for his wood stove. And he came over, he says, I'll take care of it, I'll take care of it. And he came over with, remember his trailer? He had his trailer and his Ford, he pulled it with, I don't know how he did that. And he came out with his chainsaw, and I came out to help. And you know what he said to me? Go away, go away. You'll only hurt yourself, okay? And that has happened to people working with him anyhow. That's Mr. Bird, right? They will still bear fruit in old age. Bear fruit, Hebrew means increase. That's what it means. It means increase. Old age here means gray hairs. Full of sap means rich, healthy, and green. Life is flowing. And maybe you can't move as fast as you used to move. Nobody can. Maybe you can't do some of the things you want to do. Nobody can, all right? But still, there's vitality. There's energy. There's the sparkle. Friend of mine just became president of Bob Jones, and he said what he wants to do now, that great Christian college, he wants to make it sparkle again. I like that. I like that. Listen to this. We used to get in trouble in this chapter years ago in Proverbs chapter 31. I didn't, but a lot of guys got in trouble here because they would take what Solomon had to say about a virtuous woman, okay, and apply it to their young wife. Proverbs 31 is talking about a woman who's been at this for years. years and years and years and years. And they'd apply it to their newly married wife, and it wasn't a pretty scene at all. But Proverbs 31 is talking about a woman of God who's lived for God, righteousness, spiritually productive. And it says this, Proverbs 31, and there's a lot of verses we could read here, but I want 25 caught my attention this week again. It says, strength and dignity are her clothing. It says, she smiles or she laughs at the time to come, the future. She's encouraged. It's not laughs because it's funny. She's enjoying life. She's vital. She's green. She's going to flourish. And the rest of it's so good. By the way, I think you know this, but verse 14 of Psalm 92 is not a promise of a long life, okay? There's a lot of wonderful people spiritually who have died prematurely. I was reading where a lot of you read about David Brainerd and men like that who just were cut off in the 20s and 30s. But what's going on here, one author said that the work of grace that has begun in their hearts will continue to grow until they die. It's a work of grace. It's a work of flourishing. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Paul says this. This is a good verse. Paul says, so we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, that's our body, our inner self is being renewed day by day. That's the sap. That's the green. That's the vitality here. And it says here in Psalm 92, verse 14, the righteous persevere in spite of outward decay. And if you want a negative warning, I'm not going to read this to you this morning, but Ecclesiastes chapter 12, Solomon goes through all the things that go wrong in older life. He just, poetically, he has this whole list of things that can happen. And Solomon says, as an older man writing, he says, you better get your act together now because bad days are going to come. You need to get your act together now. The righteous endure. There's inward renewal of the inside person. And then number three here, third description. Verse 15 of Psalm 92. Verse 15 of Psalm 92 describes, this is key here. If you're taking notes, you can write gospel focus here. They're describing the celebration focus of the righteous. The celebration focus. In Deuteronomy chapter, let me get it here, 32. Deuteronomy 32. We're projecting verse 4, I believe, but let me read 3 and 4. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 3 says, for I will proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe the greatness to our God. Here it is. The rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of faithfulness and without iniquity, just and upright is he. That's Deuteronomy 32, verse 3 and 4. That is the truth that the righteous are celebrating. Psalm 92, verse 14. Look at that verse, all right? Truth is celebrated. There's three things that are celebrated to declare that, number one, the Lord is upright. There is moral uprightness, righteousness to God's universe. He's the only perfect person. The second thing is, we're celebrating, God is my rock. That talks about trust and confidence. And we know that speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, right? God is my rock. He's my trust and confidence. And I like this one. We end with, there is no unrighteousness in him. God is a God of light, 1 John 1:5. And this is all true in the Lord Jesus Christ. I get discouraged sometime. You get discouraged sometime, I'm sure, when people let you down. You find some things you really counted on, and they're not as good as they once were. Nothing seems to be as good as it once were. The products we used to love are just changing and all that. You know what? There's one that never changes, never will change. Jesus Christ, the same. Yesterday, today, how long? Forever. And it says of the Lord, there is no unrighteousness in him. And a bottom line point here, if you're taking notes in your Bible, bring your Bible, write in your Bible. Verse 15 of Psalm 92 is really, an Old Testament gospel declaration, is it not? Righteousness, perfection, trust in God. A couple of reminders here. Psalm 92 has to be precious to those growing older. That's everyone. By the way, do you believe everyone's growing older? Yeah. I look at these ads on YouTube sometime. I shouldn't look at them, but they're talking about how to stay young forever. And all the people they have in these YouTubes are young anyhow, so what's the deal? You know, if I put this stuff on my hair, it will grow back and this and that, the other thing. All right, forget it. Forget it. What we want to do is we want to grow older with righteousness that enables us to reap, when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, a life well lived. And that is long-term living for the Lord, long-term routine, day-in, day-out cultivation. And if you've been lax here, and all of us are lax in this area, today's the day to get going. Today's the day to get going. We mentioned a lot of things this morning. I encourage you just to take one of something we mentioned or something you heard today, put it into practice. Two reasons, really, more than that, but I'll mention two reasons. Number one, Jesus said, when the word of God is sown, Satan comes along and steals the word right out of the heart. That ought to concern us. There's warfare going on anytime we're under the word of God. Second thing is, James says, if we're not a doer of the word, if we're not putting the word of God into practice, what can we be doing? Deceiving ourselves. And a way to overcome self-deception is just take something from the Word of God, just one thing, and by the grace of God, put it into practice. And James says we'll be blessed in what we do. And that's where we want to end, right? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the promises. Thank you, Lord, that we can, as your people, we can approach life with a kingdom mindset, not like all those around us, but like one belonging to you. Thank you, Lord, for this truth. Help us to be faithful in putting it in operation even now, in Jesus' name. Amen.